Workforce Wednesday, a snapshot of local job outlook data and employer resource information, is brought to you by the Workforce Investment Board of Ventura County, bringing people and opportunities together.
And welcome back to Workforce Wednesday, a monthly broadcast from the Workforce Investment Board of Ventura County. This month's topic is college and career readiness. Why is it a national priority, and what are schools doing about it? In studio with us this morning, Teresa Johnson, Director of the Adult and Continuing Education Ventura Unified School District, has a grandchild, by the way, attending kindergarten in Ventura. Also, I hope I get this right, Mike Soles?
Soule,
look at me go.
No problem.
Mike Soule, President Corwin, a Sage company, has three kids attending schools in the Caneo Valley. Teresa and Mike, thank you so much for coming into the studio this morning. Always great to have you folks in here. So let's talk about globalization and the recent economic situation really have made the U.S., the United States, sit up and take notice. To ensure a strong future, we need to build a workforce that is ready and able to be competitive, preparing our kids for the 21st century jobs. That is very, very critical. Let's start with Teresa. I understand that there is a new national requirement for college and career readiness. What does that mean for our local schools, Teresa?
I think there are two main differences. The first has to do with the English language arts area. There will be considerably more factual content rather than the analyzation of the literary genres. And then in math and science, many more hands-on applications.
Factual meaning grammar?
Factual meaning text that would lead one to create something, a biography, rather than so much of the fiction that we focused on historically.
Oh, Sierra, right off. I knew I liked it for some reason. There's a great line from Sideways, Rich, where the guy looks at the, and he looks at the writer, Paul Giamatti, and he says, I read biographies and real things. I don't really see the point in fiction. And there's so many great works out there that do exactly like that. They teach, and kids learn directly from them. I think that's a great, great program. Now let's shift over to Mike. With so many other requirements to meet, how will teachers be able to insert college and career readiness into the curriculum?
Well, I think the change that we're looking at right now, which is actually going to be incredibly dynamic, is that it's not about inserting or overlaying. It's about embedding what we've always historically talked about, which are the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. What we're adding to it are the four C's, which is communication, collaboration, creativity, and critical thinking. Those are the skills that are going to be necessary for children to get into college, but also to be ready to go into the workforce.
That's very, very important. So, Teresa, even with a tight budget situation, academic test scores in Ventura County have continued to rise. Interesting. Why is that?
Really, I believe, Spence, it's because we're at the end of a 15-year cycle where we've had 15 years to actually implement common standards. At this point in time, we're kind of at the pinnacle. Now we're entering a new arena where teachers are going to have to create new lesson plans. We're going to have new curriculum to actually include the embedded things that Mike was talking about. And we are going to have to spend an increased amount of time in making sure that all students have the capacity to utilize technology, because without a focus on computer literacy, our students aren't going to be able to access this material as rapidly. And unfortunately, if we don't have the funding to provide the new curriculum, the new technologies, new ways to provide staff development, I believe our scores will fall significantly.
Now, we know we're coming out with this mini iPad now, and with everything from a Kindle to a Nook to a cranny and an iPad, there's so many different things. I made up the cranny.
Yes, I know.
I'm glad you're paying attention. This is great. Our kids are using 10-year-old textbooks. Now, we'll get to textbooks in just a little bit here. There's no money in the budget to pay for new ones. How can we ensure that they have the resources needed for a 21st century education, Mike?
Well, I think there's a lot in that question. And what we are seeing right now in our schools is the contraction of funding. What has been amazing in this particular county and elsewhere are that the decision makers, superintendents, and others have kept the cuts away from the classrooms. We're not going to be able to sustain that. Built into this budget are some changes that are going to be very drastic come in January if some of the propositions that are on the ballot don't pass. And parents will see that in reality very, very early in January. When you think about these textbooks, what we know is the key determinant of success is a highly trained teacher. So as we move forward, whether the Proposition 30 or 38 passes or doesn't, we've got to make sure that we've got well-trained teachers. teachers that are able to use those critical thinking skills and get on the internet, use technology, and use new open resources that are going to be able to bring new tools and skills into our classrooms.
Is a textbook going the way of... Do you see a time where we don't have a textbook in a classroom? Either one of you?
Not a printed one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, in obviously in electronic form.
Because isn't it a waste of money to print a textbook, which in a year could be outdated, when you've got the technology to computerize all of that so that the updates can be continuous?
I think part of it has to do with the kind of learner the students are. Mm-hmm. Some learners are visual, some are auditory. But the thing that we're finding right now is so much of the software that's out there, it changes so rapidly that that is a wonderful way to go. And yet there are some learners who need the book in their hands in order to feel secure in their learning as well.
And we found out with the Rotary Club, when we go out and we deliver the dictionaries to schools, and the Rotary does all the work. I just tagged along one time. The kids, when they get a book, I thought they'd look at me and say, "Grandpa, you know, where's my iPad?" They all embrace the books. But just looking as things go is seeing how that is all going to turn, and perhaps that we could go to a different form and be a little more iPad and Nookie.
Well, the publishers, that's a big issue. The publishers that do textbooks and the costs involved in that and the contracts that are let to publishers for those textbooks, because a lot of the cost is in that process as opposed to getting the information directly to the students at the least amount of cost. And again, with the constant changing in what the facts are, because really what you're all talking about is learning how to learn. Because if you just learn things that are so-called immutable, in 2 years, they're not immutable anymore. They're gone. We're on to the next thing already. And so kids and adults really, too, have to learn how to change, how to be constantly updating their knowledge. And you learn the basics. Mm-hmm. And then you also learn how to learn new things as they come along.
Well, I think the piece that's important about the textbook is an artifact, right? We know we're in the midst of this changeover. We've solved the problem of dissemination because we've got online. We've got nooks and crannies mm-hmm. and all the rest that we can put into classrooms. But the piece that's important is that the updating and what goes into it requires very skilled folks who are continuing to update that stuff. Putting something up on Wikipedia with no curation, with no discernment, it leads us into an area that can have some really detrimental results if we don't have educators who are looking at it in terms of how it's based on the standards, best practices, and what really is something that's going to be powerful learning for kids.
Well, you want to make sure a fact is a fact before
right.
you put it out there. And that's true. Yeah,
there should be 5 to 9 Monday through Friday.
Right. But the big thing is, as you've said, with the embedded learning is to learn how to deal with things as they come up and know how to solve a problem, know how to recognize a problem and solve a problem, learning new technologies or changing technologies as they come out. Because, you know, when I went to school, it was like you did high school, you did college, and that was it for the rest of your life. No need to go back and learn. But as we know now, everybody has to go back and learn. And about every other week, you have to go back and learn and relearn.
What's interesting is Thomas Friedman came out with a book recently that is totally applicable to what it is we do at the Workforce Investment Board, looking at what the skills are that we need. Where are we going to be so that we're competitive and not in this kind of economic crisis that we're in? And what he says is that what we need now in the workforce are people who can combine the skills of MIT, MTV, and Madison Avenue. That goes back to those 4 C's that we talked about. It's what Teresa's doing in her classrooms at Continuing Ed. Those are the kind of skills we're going to have to keep learning and discerning.
And one of the things that I tell the kids all the time when they're goofing around with their iPads, and I said, do you realize the thought that had to go through to make Angry Birds? And they'll be playing that. I said, don't be the kid that's just playing that. Be the kid that creates it too. Because we all know when you put pavers down in the backyard, if you don't know a little bit of mathematics, you're done. You know, you just can't do it. And that's architecture right. and all of these things that add beauty and fun to our lives also take a whole lot of skill, whether it's playing music or creating a computer game. The simplest game did take a lot of thought to go behind it. So to get that into a kid's head that what you're playing, you should one day be creating, that's a real interesting
right.
Job for you at the Workforce Investment Board.
Isn't it a myth that there's a lack of jobs out there? There's a lack of people who are skilled in those jobs.
I would like to take that if I could. There is a lack of people who are skilled in some areas, but I think that the rapid change in the application of software has really left a void for many people. And one of the things that we do at the Technology Development Center is that we make sure that all of the students have computer literacy. They have to have that first. You could play games all day, but not be able to actually understand how to apply the software. And so that's a key factor for computer literacy that I think is critical in the schools. And then the other piece is resiliency. You know, for so long, we have tried to create students who are meeting the standards and doing the different types of things, but we have to also build into that piece that they learn by actually doing things. They learn by failing and coming back and then mastering the content. And I think that's really an important factor on the affective side of this.
A great conversation. If somebody wanted to know more from you folks, Teresa and Mike, how would they reach you? What would you like them to do?
I'd like for them to call me at 805-289-7925, extension 1012.
And they could reach you and chat about that?
Yes.
And Mike?
They can reach me at www.corwin.com, and I'm listed there, and they can certainly send me an email.
Okay, fantastic conversation as always. To listen to past Workforce Wednesday programs or to sign up for the WIB's electronic newsletter, go to www.wib.ventura.org. For more information about the Workforce Investment Board, go to www.wib.ventura.org or find the WIB on Facebook. Next month's show will be at 8:40 on November 28th. If you have a Workforce Wednesday topic you'd like to hear, tell us about it on our Facebook page, Workforce Investment Board of Ventura County. Thank you so much for coming in this morning. Excellent conversation. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
The business, education, labor, economic development, and community members of the Workforce Investment Board are committed to workforce development for economic vitality in Ventura County. To learn more, go to wib.ventura.org.